Today, we share stories of the challenging but telling moments in our lives. These are personal stories with a universal message. They show us the potential each of us has for moments of courage. So many of you offered experiences, and we have put them together in a choral reading. Courage expresses itself differently in each person, and we celebrate the whole of what it reveals about us. Courage helps us to do common, everyday things.
I hate going to bed at night in the dark.
I get anxious going to public areas.
I dread
getting shots
at the doctors.
I'm timid about singing in front of others.
It's courageous to face a fear of heights that makes the heart pound.
I jumped off a very high cliff on a zip line.
On a rainy, windy day, on a ropes course, I had to trust and just fall backwards.
I had to cross a high up rickety bridge with wasps swarming around me.
I was on a flying trapeze and had to let go and just trust the catcher.
I went parasailing and screamed as I became airborne.
Courage is coming to terms with being an alcoholic.
The courage to try new things can be daunting.
I'm always scared my first day of school.
I'm afraid to try something new.
I was scared to leave a job that was not right for me without having another one in place.
It takes courage to deal with acts of violence that threaten us.
I was afraid to leave an abusive relationship.
I got attacked in the subway stairs by two young men. I yelled and scared them away.
Despite witnessing my parents' destructive marriage, I opened to vulnerability and fell in love.
Overcoming fear and worry about birthing a child takes courage for many women.
My mother nearly died in childbirth, and it filled me with great fear. But when I became pregnant, I knew I just had to go through with it.
I didn't have insurance, so I was forced to have my second child at home. I was scared.
I'm proud of myself for standing up for a friend who was being bullied for going through a gender change.
Speaking your truth takes courage.
I had to give a speech when I ran for student council.
I tried out along with my daughter for a part in a play, even though I am afraid of speaking in public.
I learned to speak out about issues at church. I dared to speak to strangers.
At work, I had to give a presentation to 100 people on a topic I didn't know very well.
I marched at the Democratic National Convention.
I belted out a song, "Impeach the Bastards," to protest the policies of George Bush at the New Hampshire Democratic Party Convention.
I started an LGBTQ support group at school where some kids hate LGBTQ people.
I was a war tax resister for several years in the 1980s because it sickened me to think my money was going to instruments of war or even directly killing people, including innocent people.
We must summon courage when dealing with death.
I was scared of all the things I had to deal with after my husband's death. It was daunting to learn to live alone.
I struggle to find the right words to help family and friends when their loved one was dying.
I live every day to the fullest since I found out that I have incurable cancer.
What makes us unique also makes us whole. In these stories, we have heard hope, fulfillment, passion, caring, and determination. Each of us is a role model to courage in a memorable way. Listening to the courage of others becomes a kind of prayer for the wholeness of its all. Thank you for sharing. And let's sing the children off to circles. Will you join me in a spirit of meditation? Andy Goldsworthy, the Scottish sculptor and photographer who created the image you see, once said, "I did tests on small stones before collecting and committing myself to the larger ones." That could be a testament to how to find courage, one act at a time. So let's consider that. Every act of courage has a small beginning, the place where it becomes a pattern of knowing and being. O great spirit of what sustains us, let me see where the beginnings are. Let my life be a circle of understanding with no ending and a constant center. Give me the peace that lies in that center, and help it urge me to speak what is in me and take it to a place larger than my own circle. Give me the courage to model the two keystones of courage, energy and patience. Show me what could be mine if I gave courage the effort and the commitment it takes to thrive. And let me learn how to reflect on the struggles of my voice to express my experience and my passion. Let me see who is with me in more than a cause, who is with me for a long lifetime of little steps forward, making bonds to what is true and what is relevant to more than just me. Give me the warmth to live in community with a purpose and a validation that touches me. Grant me not just the serenity of what is constant, but the urge to seek what life offers of change and possibility for all of us. Open my persistence as you open my heart, for courage demands a long-term conviction to what is right, dear, and thoughtful for the whole of the interdependent web. Just show me where the beginning can be, and I will listen, learn, and express myself beyond what I imagined I could muster. Let me focus on my center and expand from there, beginning as I look into the expanding circle of my potential to be courageous. Blessed be. And we're going to offer some thoughts on what courage can be using famous people and maybe not so famous people as illustrations of that. So often it isn't the roots of words that carry power, but the prefixes or suffixes we add to the base. Courage is an exception, only in that it has so many possible interpretations of meaning, and they speak to a wide range of situations and people with the potential to change us. The negative prefix, dis, has the power to deflate and distract, and we've all fallen victim to those who would discourage us. But the prefix, en, is even more powerful. It brings voices to the table, offers support and strength and witness. Sometimes an act of courage is well-planned or well-timed, but just as often it is the result of a lifetime of commitment to a calling or cause. Yet somehow, some way, personal courage is always encouraged. When I was a teenager, it upset me that all the faces on Mount Rushmore were men who had been presidents of the United States. Sure, they were important, but they were political figures who had opportunities because they had the ear and confidence of other influential people. And now it upsets me that they stick out like a sore thumb in the Black Hills, a place sacred to the Lakota Sioux. So how should we honor people who make a lasting difference in our lives? How do we recognize the courageous people of our country and the world who step up and point out where social or political change is needed, or where government has failed us, left us short of resources, or covered up injustice? Change begins with committed individuals with courage. Lots of heroes and heroines have learned that standing up, or in at least one case, sitting down, is an act of real courage when you do it largely alone in the spotlight and your cause is not a popular one. If I had to pick four people to honor in a more appropriate venue than Mount Rushmore, I'd pick individuals who had the courage to be a voice or a witness or a presence in the face of prejudice or injustice or oppression. These would be people who pressed on with their convictions without a political or social machine to back them up. They would be people with a cause or a vocation that made a difference in the lives and futures of families everywhere. They would be people who encouraged us. You can come up with your own list, of course, but this is mine. Walt Whitman, thank you for writing America's great poetic epic, for being a man who was open about everything, love of this country, sexuality, nursing in Civil War hospitals, and the transcendental philosophy that is mirrored in our UU principles. Margaret Sanger, thank you for caring that women have a right to plan pregnancies, build strong families, and safeguard the health of their own bodies. Marion Wright Edelman, thank you for being the best advocate for the rights of all children that this country has ever had. And James Noctway, thank you for the courage to be a witness through photojournalism to history's worst moments during war, famine, genocide, and disaster, all while giving humanity dignity with integrity. Now, Sally Sennett will share with us the story of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who means so much to her.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a voice of courage. She stands for justice in her work on the Supreme Court. She speaks her deepest convictions. She sees herself in larger ways. She has discriminating wisdom. But these are generalities. What has Ruth Bader Ginsburg actually done? Let me tell a personal story of courage. RBG is my hero. She speaks out even though the other justices on the court don't. She speaks out for equality. Moreover, she wrote an autobiography. I am writing a memoir, one story at a time. We have both these things in common, writing and a belief in gender equality. One day when Ruth was a young woman, she approached the Supreme Court building. It was in the early 1950s. The eight Grecian columns stood tall. It is a very grand and imposing building. She climbed the marble steps and entered the room where the nine male justices sat. It is worth mentioning that from this first day, as a nervous young lawyer, arguing cases before the Supreme Court, RBG played the long game with the ultimate goal, equality of the sexes, constantly in view. As a Supreme Court justice, which she is now, she is recognized for the sex discrimination cases she argued, and the one before the Supreme Court. As an advocate for women's rights, she has my admiration. The landmark majority opinion that stands out for me is the one she delivered early in her Supreme Court tenure. She forced the all-male Virginia Military Institute to admit women. at the core of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's lifelong project is the conviction that there should be no separate sphere for men and women in the eyes of the law.
The anthem this morning suggests that courage takes a willingness to risk and a trust in our instincts for the right action. When it feels like you've done the right thing, you can sing as your courage supports you. Be like a bird.
Several loud shots were heard from coming from a bus in Pakistan, and a young girl lay critically wounded on the floor of the bus. Gunfire in Pakistan is not that unusual, but few could imagine the impact that this event would have on this young girl and how it might change the world. Toward the end of 2008, the Taliban announced that all girls' schools in some areas of Pakistan would be shut down. An 11-year-old girl had the courage to stand up to this order. Malala Yousafzai gave her first speech, "How dare the Taliban take away my basic right to education," to a press club, and her speech was publicized throughout Pakistan. This launched Malala into the spotlight. She began writing regular entries for the BBC about living under the Taliban rule. Meanwhile, the Taliban shut down all schools in the district and blew up more than 100 of them. She became a national figure in her country, appearing on television as a spokesperson for girls' education. On October 9, 2012, when Malala was 15 years old, she was on that bus campaigning for the education of girls in Pakistan. When the Taliban hijacked the bus and singled her out, shooting her in the head and neck. She was reported to be in critical condition and not expected to survive. But survive she did. When Malala appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres show, Ellen asked her why she wasn't angry at the people who shot her. Malala answered in this way, "I think they made a big mistake because I was fighting for the right of education from the beginning when the Taliban stopped girls from going to school. But I had this little bit of fear. What would happen to me? How would I feel if someone attacked me? But after that incident, when I was attacked, that fear just went away. My weakness, my fear, and my hopelessness died on that day, and I became stronger than before. Now I believe that nothing can stop me." On her 16th birthday in 2013, she spoke at the United Nations of the right of education of every child. That same year, she was named one of Time magazine's most influential people. In 2014, Malala won the Nobel Peace Prize almost 2 years from the date of being shot on that bus. She became the youngest recipient in the history of the prize. That same year, her memoir was published in the United States and became a number one bestseller on Amazon. As the global spokesperson for girls' education, Malala has relentlessly advocated on behalf of her cause, continuing to speak out despite increased Taliban threats. Malala originally wanted to be a doctor. Since her increased visibility, she has changed her career focus to politics. She has co-founded the Malala Fund, which invests in early-stage girls' education initiatives or in small organizations in countries like Pakistan, Nigeria, Kenya, and Jordan. Malala Yousafzai is my example of courage.
Good morning. My person, Robert E. Lee, is somewhat unlikely for a UU person to talk about because of his status, but hope you will indulge me. Before I tell you about Robert E. Lee's two acts of courage, the first one is quite well known and the second one is little known and questioned by many people, I have a few brief observations about Robert E. Lee, the man. Stephen Vincent Benet, there's a name out of the past, called him, quote, "that marble man of Greek proportions and a riddle unread," which brings me to the whole statue controversy. General Lee's descendants deplore the whole mess, saying, essentially, that their ancestor believed in unity and forgiveness, and his statues belong in museums. He was a pillar of the Virginia aristocracy by birth and by marriage to George Washington's granddaughter. He graduated second in his class from West Point without a single demerit, and became a military engineer and an outstanding soldier in the Napoleonic tradition, with command presence. He was a Southern gentleman who avoided conflict and confrontation as much as possible. I think his devoting his life to the Army and being posted all over the country from New York to Texas was a way of avoiding the whole slavery issue, which was tearing the country apart. He had supreme confidence in his own rectitude and honor as a white supremacist. He believed that slavery would end someday, according to God's will. By 1865, he had become the living monument to the South and all that it stood for. On Palm Sunday, April 9, 1865, he surrendered his starving, ragged, shell-shocked army of some 8,000 men with honor and with dignity to General Grant's imposing army. He bid farewell to his men, saying with deep emotion, "We have fought the war together, and I have done the best I could for you. Go now to your homes in peace. Goodbye."
The American Civil War could so easily have degenerated into a guerrilla campaign of terrorism and repression and banditry, as so many other wars have throughout history. It did not, thanks to General Lee and many others like him on both sides, who showed courage and foresight unique to the American experience. The second event, act of courage, took place on a warm Sunday in the spring of that same year at the St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Richmond, Virginia. As the minister, Dr. Charles Mingarota, stood ready to administer Holy Communion, a tall, well-dressed black man arose from his place in the West Gallery, which was reserved for Negroes, and advanced to the communion rail, instead of waiting until all the white parishioners had received their communion. This one small act would have been unthinkable before the war. The congregation, including the minister, froze in place in surprise, in outrage, and in anger. It was one thing for the white South to endure defeat and poverty and to accept the fact now that the slaves were free. It was something else altogether for a black man to presume equality here at the sanctuary of Richmond's well-bred elite. The unknown courageous black man slowly and reverently knelt at the communion rail while the congregation sat tensely in their pews waiting for they knew not what, a spark, lightning, some sign from heaven. After what seemed an interminable amount of time, though it was probably only a few seconds, a tall, distinguished-looking white man arose from his accustomed place and with purposeful steps and erect bearing walked quietly up the aisle to the communion rail. His face showed the strain of 4 years of war, as well his white hair and beard. He seemed much older than people remembered, for he had lost much. He had borne the weight of the Confederacy and all its expectations on those shoulders. And the post-war South and this congregation still looked to him for guidance in this strange new world. With quiet dignity, he slowly knelt down to partake of the communion beside the black man. The rest of the parishioners followed in his footsteps, reluctantly, awkwardly, and fearfully into the future. I am deeply moved imagining this timeless moment. I have long wanted to share this story with you. Don't you wish you'd been there? I do believe in heaven that morning, a tall, gaunt, sad-looking man in a stovepipe hat smiled for the first time in a long time. Thank you very much.
Linda, while you're here with Joe, perhaps you can come up and introduce the hymn so that we can sing it. Just let me sort of wrap up what we just did. All kinds of people are courageous role models. Some of them change us in perspective, in potential, in capacity, or in resolve. But all of them encourage us to be something more than we would be without their example. So, how do we grow as a courageous community? We listen well. We refresh our understanding of our values and principles regularly. We truly care what worries or impassions others of us. And we practice being present. And we scan together courageously for our future, the future of all humanity and our shared environment. And this is what makes us a congregation. The flame of this chalice will be snuffed out for a week, but it's always there for us, inside of us, sustaining every act of courage we make that enriches and it sustains us all. Go in peace, encouraged by its warmth. The words are up on the screen.